Welcome to Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. We are located at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. If you don't have a home, church, we would love for you to consider making your home with us. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school at 10 a.m. and Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. Sunday night Bible study begins at 6 p.m. and Wednesday night prayer meeting starts at 6 p.m. Now it's time to enjoy a wonderful anointed message from Pastor Jimmy Haining.
And usually when the Lord speaks to me, He speaks a word of knowledge or in tongues and interpretation or prophecy. But in this particular case, He spoke through His own word. Amazing, and you're going to see why in a minute, the way He just laid it out. And these are all, if you look them up, these are all scriptures in the Word God put together. And He said, I've got a word against the rulers of this world. Been preaching lately about who will be the next Lone Ranger. Sound the alarm. God says, I've got a word against the rulers. In other words, the nations of the world. All of them. He didn't leave anybody out. Again, this was right straight from the Word of God. This is what He says. I'm going to read it to you. He said, even though the wicked strut about and evil is praised throughout the land, the nations have fallen into the pit that they have dug for others. They have been caught in their own trap. They dig a pit to trap others, and then they fall into it themselves. They make trouble, but it backfires on them. They plan violence for others, but it falls upon their own head. Then He asks these two questions. Why do the nations rage? And why do the people waste their time with futile plans? Behold, the Lord will bring their flattery of the tongue to an end and silence their proud tongues. They say this, we will lie to our heart's content and our lips are our own. And who is the Lord over us? The kings of the earth prepare for battle. The rulers plot together against me and against my anointed one. And they cry this, let us break their chains and free ourselves from this slavery. But the Holy One of Israel says, the one who rules in heaven, He laughs. The Holy One of Israel says, behold, I scoff at them, says the Lord. In my anger, I rebuke them, terrifying them with my fierce fury. The Lord your God is a judge who is perfectly fair, and I am angry with the wicked every day. When the Lord gave that to me, and I was not even thinking anything along those lines when I was studying on the message. But the title of the message this morning is, and this shall be the portion of their cup. And this shall be the portion of their cup. And I, with the help of the Lord this morning, we're going to read our scripture text here in a moment, but I want to talk about three classes of people this morning. I want to talk about the wicked. I want to talk about the portion of the slothful. And I want to talk about the portion of the faithful. Portion of the wicked, portion of the slothful, and the portion of the faithful. And the title again of the message is, this shall be the portion of their cup. If you would stand with me, turn to Proverbs chapter 24. We're going to read one verse there, verse number 20. Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 20. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 20 says, for there shall be no reward to the evil man. Listen to this. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. I want to read that one more time. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 20 says, for there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. Skip down to verse 30. We're going to talk about the slothful now. He says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of a man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and needles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well, and I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. We're going to talk about the faithful. Psalms chapter 31. When you get there, we're going to read one verse, verse 23. Psalms chapter 31, verse number 23. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful. For the Lord preserveth the faithful. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Turn with me for one more verse of scripture for the faithful. Psalms chapter 101. Psalms chapter 101, one verse there as well, verse number 6. Psalms chapter 101, verse number 6. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me, O glory to God. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall deliver me. We're going to talk first this morning about the portion of the wicked. The portion of the wicked. Psalms chapter 7 verse 11 says this, God judgeth the righteous, and he is angry with the wicked every day. God judgeth the righteous, and he is angry with the wicked every day. Psalms 11:6 says it this way, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. King David talked many times, if you read in the Psalms, he talked many times and he spoke of the wicked. And just to kind of put it in layman's terms, some of the things that King David said, he said, you know, I look, I behold the wicked, and I don't understand, Brother Tom, how the wicked, it seems like when they go out into their field, that their cattle is plentiful. They just grow. He said, I look at the wicked and I just don't understand. It seems like they don't even get a sniffle. He said, I look at the wicked, Brother Gene, and it seems like their pockets are bursting. Have they ever thought anything like that before? Brother King David did. And he was blessed of the Lord. The Bible said he was a man after God's own heart. But he said, I looked at the wicked, and he said, I beheld these things, and I think, why is this? But then the Bible went on to say later on that God does not forget the wicked. That there is an appointed time for what God is going to do to the wicked. The Bible goes on to say that this life that we live in right now is all the wicked have to look forward to in the way of blessings. But for the child of God, Brother Mark, there is a blessing yet to come. A blessing that we can't even begin to imagine. And the reason why we know that is because the Bible said, eye has not seen it, ear has not heard about it, neither has it even entered into the heart of man. All the glorious, wonderful, precious things that God has prepared for those who are faithful and those who love his appearing. Hallelujah. King David looks at the wicked and he says, I see all these things and I wonder. The question would be begging to be asked, what is the end result of the wicked? Rather than chewing on what David chewed on and being flustered about what we see with the naked eye and what we hear with the ear about how wicked people are prospering, let us consider what the Bible says. The Bible says the end result of the wicked, they shall be left with nothing. They shall be left with nothing. He says, the wicked shall fail. The wicked shall fail. He says, they shall be put out. God himself will put them out. He says, they shall be broken by the hand of God. He says, they shall be in outer darkness. The reason why I'm doing this way is I didn't want to take the time to read all these. There's a ton of scriptures. There's more than what I have time to read this morning. And finally, he says, they shall be cast into a burning, blazing lake of fire. That is the end portion of the wicked. Somebody said, Brother Jimmy, I don't understand how God can allow wickedness to run the way it's running today. If you just turn, Brother Jimmy, if you just turn on the TV set, and you see some of the things that are happening to these little innocent children in the land of Syria. Yes, but can I say this morning that there's still a God who is on his throne. And he's angry with the wicked every day. Somebody said, Brother Jimmy, how do you explain these people, these young teenagers who get strung out on dope and alcohol and their life is seemingly ruined and it seems like they don't have anything in life to look forward to? There is a God who is still seated on the throne, who is still in control of things, and he is still angry with the wicked every day. But say, Brother Jimmy, I don't understand why the church seems like we're fighting so hard. And all the years that people like the great Billy Graham and different ones have preached the gospel message, and we used to see hundreds by the scores of people going to the altar. And when we looked at those crusades, it was standing room only. And now we look around and things are much different. Can I tell you today, that's the reason why God is tearing me, because we've still got too many empty pews, and God is depending upon you and he's depending upon me to sound the alarm, to stand strong in the face of adversity and let the world know that there's only one God and there's only one way, and it's through Jesus Christ. These things happen because people forget God. People get in their little comfort zones. They get all warm and snuggy in their snuggie. Leave me where I am. I'm just fine where I'm at. God can't use somebody like that. If we're going to make a dent in the kingdom of hell, we got to be willing to engage. We got to be willing to come out of our comfort zones. We've got to be willing to say, I am not ashamed to be called one of them. I'm not ashamed to tell the lost that he's lost or that she's lost, and if they don't change their way, they're going to split hell wide open. Yes, this is old time preaching and I'll never change. There's too many churches that's saying love, 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 joy, 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 peace, 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 and we need all three of them. But I'm here to tell you that love, joy, and peace will not keep you out of a devil's hell. Only Jesus can do that. People who seeking to go about finding common ground that we can relate to the Hindus, we can relate to the Buddhists, we can relate to Islam, we can relate to all these religions. No, we can't. No, we can't. All of those religions are based on false and idol gods. Many of them, India has over 1 million different gods that they serve and they worship. But we have one God who is manifest in three persons. Why? Because God upon his throne looked down one day and he loved man so much, Brother Gene, that he said, I'm going to send my only begotten son and I'm going to let him be the supreme sacrifice. He who knew no sin will take upon himself the sins of the whole world. And when he gives up the ghost, hallelujah, and the veil is rent from top to bottom, then man will be able to enter in. And he went a step farther, Brother Tom. He said, I won't leave him alone. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. One of the same sort. The paraclete in the Greek word. One of the same sort. I will not leave you comfortless, but I'll send another comforter. So when we see the nations raging and we see all of these things going on, we should not be flabbergasted about it. We should not be confused about it, because the Bible tells us like this. He said, in the last days, it shall be as it was in the days of Noah. They were eating. They were drinking. They were marrying and giving in marriage. They were exchanging gifts. There was violence all through the land. All these terrible things. There were men who was not regarding God. They made up their own rules and knew not, Brother Archie, till the day that the flood came and took them all away. We're living in the last days. Somebody said, how do you know we're living in the last days? Because Jesus said, this is how you would know it was the last days. When all of these signs, this is what Jesus said, when you see all of these things, in other words, come together at once, know that it is near, even at the doors. And we've still got people in the house of God playing church. We've still got people in the house of God that it does not bother them that we have so many empty pews. We have people in the house of God that always constantly looking at their clock. And I still see people looking at the clock. I still see people wondering when I'm going to shut up so they can go home. I'm going home. I said, I'm going home. And when Jesus comes, I want to know that he finds me busy. I want to know that he finds faith in this little short fat fella, that he's not going to look at me and cast me out. But he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. While people are looking for the answer in a bottle, Jesus is saying, come unto me and I'll take away even the craving. while people are looking for that quick fix in pornography, Jesus is saying, Sister Wanda, come to me. I'll make you whole. Go and sin no more. This is the portion of their cup. They'll be left with nothing. They'll fail. They'll be put out. They'll be broken. They'll be cast in outer darkness and ultimately make their bed in hell in a burning, blazing lake of fire. What is the portion of the slothful? Proverbs 12:24 says, the hand of the diligent, listen to this, shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Did you catch that? The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. In other words, you're always going to be in debt to somebody. I used to think, and it had aggravated me so much, and some of you will be able to relate to this. Before I started Passion, I worked 11 years with my wife at SPI. I quit there, went pastor in Springfield for about 4 years, and when I left there, I went back into the work field and worked for a company called Derringer for another 4 years, then came here. But in the time that I held the secular jobs, especially Derringer, I would get up at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, whatever it was, to go to work. And Brother Tom, it never failed. Just about every day, the thought would go through my mind. Here I am, again, getting up with the chickens, going to face another 12-hour day, do my time, pay Uncle Sam his percent, so that all these deadbeat people sitting at home eating potato chips and watching television, I can support them. Now, I'm not talking about widows. I'm not talking about the fatherless. I'm talking about people who are well-bodied and able and can work. This church, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, of all the churches I've ever been to, and I've been working in the ministry since the age of 7, this is the first church in my life that I ever seen, and I'm just throwing this out there, it might not be exact, but it's close, at least 80% of the people in this church religiously pay their tithes and give in the offering. Usually it's the other way around. I've been in big churches where it's the exact opposite. But I said that to say this, what if people who were slothful could shake themselves? What if they would pick up the plow, so to speak, and do their part? How much more could the house of God do for people who don't have anything? How much more could we accomplish with missionary work that we can't do right now, Brother Tom, if people who could work but just choose not to would go to work? Quit looking for handouts. That's what's wrong with this country today. We've got people with their hand out for everything. They want the government to give them everything. And we've got people suffering because of it. The last time I checked, and I'm probably off on this by now, but the last time I checked, only 40% of the United States people who work are the ones who are supporting this country with finances. That means 60% of people are either on welfare or not working at all. You can't go on like that. Eventually, it's going to catch up. God doesn't have much use for the slothful. And he said, for the slothful, they shall be under tribute. Proverbs 15:19 said, the way of the slothful man, listen to this, is as an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. Proverbs 18:9 said, he also that is slothful in his work, listen to this, is a brother to him that is a great waster. I never understood, Brother Ronnie, what it meant to appreciate something until I had to work for it. Again, we live in a generation today where everything is handed to our kids. I'll raise my hand. Shame on me. Although I did make Lizzie work and work her way to pay for my old keyboard. I said, you're going to know what it means to appreciate something. And I'll tell you, she paid it off. Now that keyboard's a $2,000 keyboard. I only charged her $100, but she paid it off. But until you've worked hard for something, you don't know what it means to appreciate it. Going back to the slothful, what is the end result of the slothful? Here they are. He shall always be in debt. His way is a way of hardship. There are people, Brother Gene, that are 40 years, I know them right now, 43 years old or better to this day, who are still what I refer to as moochers. They live that way. they live that way. They know that if they paint a sad enough picture, if they put enough posts on Facebook, if they talk to enough people and give them their sad luck song, somebody will bail them out rather than getting a job, and they're well capable of working. But their way is a way of hardship. He shall be known as the great waster. He shall know hunger. Finally, we come to the good part. This shall be the portion of the cup of the faithful. Romans 12 and 11 says, be not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Hebrews 6:12 says, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Revelation 2:25 says, but that which ye have already, hold it fast until I come. And finally, Revelation 3:3 says, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold it fast, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour that I will come upon thee. Even with the righteous, he gives a warning. After all the promises, he gives a warning. And I want to conclude it by telling you and sharing with you this morning what the end result is of the faithful, of the righteous. And here they are. Their cries shall be heard. I like that, Brother Mike. They shall be preserved. They shall have God's favor. They shall inherit the earth. They shall be joyful. Not happiness. Happiness is dependent upon happenstance. But joyful is what you got all the time, regardless of what's going on. Their way shall be made straight. They shall eat and shall be full. They shall be delivered. They have hope even in death. They shall be given great authority. They shall sing and rejoice. They shall shine forth as the sun. They shall inherit eternal life with Jesus Christ their Lord. They shall be clothed with fine linen, white and clean. They shall receive a crown of life that fadeth not away. They shall be the glory of Jehovah God, and they shall dwell forever with the Lord their God. I'm talking this morning about the portion of the faithful. And when Jesus comes back, there will be a portion. There will be a remnant. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of that crowd that when the trumpet blasts, I'm going to break gravity. I don't want to be one of them sitting in the pew that when I look up and see others ascending, that I'm still sitting. I want to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that when the day comes and the night ends, that I've done everything I know to do to be found pleasing in the sight of my Lord. This is the portion of the faithful. And though the heathen rages and all these bad things are going on, God is still on the throne. Brother Gene, and I'll close on this. The Bible said that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard and keep our hearts and minds. Now, what that tells me is, in God, there is no room for depression. In God, there is no room for fear, Sister Sandy. In God, we can be at peace. We can look a devil himself in the eye and not be afraid. Because the peace of our God passes all understanding. I don't know if you've ever caught that verse, that part of the verse before, all understanding. It's not just talking about human understanding. That's talking about principalities and powers. That's talking about that old slew foot that's been around longer than you and I have. God's peace surpasses all that. Those who are sick in their body. The Bible tells us it rains on the just and the unjust. But what we've got to understand, number one, is with his stripes we are healed. And number two, this life is but a vapor. This is not our home. Our home is in heaven. And when we get a clear picture of that this morning, and we realize that truly deep down inside of our heart, Brother Mike, we realize 100% this is not our home, and we quit acting like it's our home, and we quit laying up treasures like it's our home, and we quit spending money like crazy like it's our home, and we look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, then and only then are we going to be joyful. Things of this world can't bring joy. Money cannot satisfy. Relationships cannot satisfy. Only Jesus can mend a broken heart. Only Jesus can satisfy our soul. Only He can bring joy, true joy. With every head bowed and every eye closed here this morning, I wonder, there be one here first and foremost.
Jesus gave us a mission. He commanded us to go into every nation. Reach the dying soul. If we use the things He's shown us and the words He said, with the blood of Jesus we can paint the town red. We gotta reach Him, teach Him, show Him, preach Him the way to eternal life. We gotta be His witness. We gotta be His light. If we wanna make a difference, we gotta be willing to try. Do what Jesus said, so let's go down and paint the town red. I think time is one thing. We have very little love if we ignore the calling we've been given from above. We gotta paint the life of Jesus on the hearts of men. Let's see how many souls for Christ we can win. We gotta reach Him, teach Him, show Him, preach Him the way to eternal life. We gotta be His witness, we gotta be His light. If we wanna make a difference, we gotta be willing to try. We gotta do what Jesus said, so let's go down and paint the town red. So let's go down and paint the town red.
Children, go where I send thee. How will I send thee? Oh, I'm gonna send thee one by one. One was a little bitty baby born. Born in Bethlehem. Children, go where I send thee. How will I send thee? Oh, I'm gonna send thee two by two. Two was a Paul and Silas. One was a little bitty baby. Born in Bethlehem. Children, go where I send thee. How will I send thee? Oh, I'm gonna send thee three by three. Three was the Hebrew children. Two was the Paul and Silas. One was a little bitty baby born in Bethlehem.
We hope you've been blessed by today's message by Pastor Jimmy Haney and Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. Pastor Jimmy and the congregation would like to invite you to visit with them in service at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. We will see you again right here next week.
His love changed me. I'm not what I used to be. I'm saved by grace.
'cause I'm here.